What is a handful of sand in the ocean? All the sins of humanity are but a little microbe in the vast ocean. Therefore, the sins of one man amount to practically nothing. That's how easily God forgives men as long as he returns through true repentance. We must return in the arms of our God the Father. When the child returns in the arms of God the Father, it is all over. There is no sin that can beat God's great mercy. And since we have so much inexhaustible compassion in front of us, why do we hesitate to run in the arms of the Father and become forgiven? The devil is holding us back. God and our guardian angel is pushing us forward. So who are we going to listen to? Whoever we show obedience, that's where we will go. These are the words of God. These are the things that the Holy Gospel teaches and the Holy Fathers. Let's not disregard and ignore these words. Let's not be consumed by the daily affairs. Christ said it very clearly. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. So let's keep minimizing our daily cares and let's dedicate ourselves on how to cultivate our soul and to present it fruitful in front of God. And sure enough, death will come, whether we like it or not. We will all sooner or later enter the channel of death, and we will reach the dark gate, and we will go through. There's no other way or path or opening to slide through. We will all pass and follow that route. Let's realize that we are 100% convinced that each one of us will die, and we will pass to his judgment seat. Today, when a man is to be judged and the charges are serious, we all know that this person goes through many paths and troubles in order to defend and save himself from jail and even death. He finds attorneys. He makes sure to find the best attorney. He looks for a person that has clout, and he looks to pay anything to anybody that would be able to help him in this very difficult predicament. He looks for witnesses which will enable him to be saved and to have the verdict come out and find him innocent. So much concern for a temporary case, so much trouble, but for God's judgment, which inevitably awaits all of us, where the game of eternal life will take place, we are totally neglectful and ignorant. Our negligence is proven by the lifestyle that we lead. Our deeds also prove at which level we have developed our spirituality and our subject of our eternal life. May God's grace and help be sent to give us the light and strength and grace to become worthy of this holy subject, which will successfully lead us to enter in the paradise of God and to avoid condemnation. Because hell and Hades is something seriously dreadful, very dreadful. Hell is not in the conscience. Some people would like to underestimate the seriousness of hell by saying that hell is only in the conscience. Hell, according to the church fathers, is spiritual. Spiritual paradise and spiritual hell. The existence of the soul is spiritual, and so is the existence of the demon spiritual. Christ will say at his second coming, "Go out, go away from me, you evildoers. Go in everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels." So is hell in the conscience? No, because the demons are not bothered by their conscience. They don't suffer. So the demons celebrate in their sins and crimes against God. When they don't sin, that's when they feel hell. They are not bothered, even though they are conscious of their deeds. Unlike people, and for that reason, hell was prepared for them eternally. And that's where they will go. At the second coming of our Lord, the demons will be sent to hell along with those people that share in the deeds of the demons and the devil. Therefore, hell is positive and spiritual, and its darkness and fire a devouring worm, and so forth. As we read in the Book of the Elders, Saint Macarius the great ascetic of the desert, was walking around in the desert, and at some point he ran across a human skull, and he tapped it with his cane and said, "Who were you when you were living in the world?" And a sound came from the skull and said, "I was a priest of the idols, and you are Makarios, the holy man of God, who prays for the whole world, and your prayers, holy one of God, reach even us, the idolaters. And how does my prayer benefit you?" asked Saint Makarios. "The benefit is that a very small trace of light reaches us, and one person in Hades can see the person next to him. And to us, this is some kind of consolation." And the saint was terrified to hear that it was a consolation for someone to see his neighbor even slightly. And he tapped again the skull with his cane and walked away sad. The tradition of the fathers and the ascetics has so much wealth and examples concerning hell and its spiritual reality, along with the reality of paradise. These are opposites in the same nature of eternity and spirituality. It is not a matter of my conscience burning me and eating my sides like a parasite and covering me with darkness for the transgressions that I have done against God. No, along with our conscience, we will also have the spiritual hell. The Church Fathers spoke and dogmatically placed the existence of paradise and hell at the spiritual level. Because people today, and some theologians even explain that hell exists in the conscience of a person and so on. Again, these people underestimate and confuse and negate the beneficial thought and reality of hell, and they are talking about conscience. Very well then, I can choke and kill my conscience, play ignorant, and I escape hell. No, it doesn't work that way. The demons are sent to hell because the devil does not feel anything in his conscience. The devil celebrates in his transgressions against God and does not suffer. Man suffers when he sins against God because he has a soul and a conscience. He is the breath of God and suffers. The devil, on the other hand, celebrates. Consequently, hell is necessary for him, not in the conscience, but in the positive existence. For this reason, people that are found unrepented at the time of death are sent there. And since we have the truth at hand of hell and paradise, it is up to us to avoid hell and not go down there. Hell is no place for a man's soul. No, the breath of God must return in the arms of God. And there it will live forever with a heavenly Father. But the man who rebelled and transgressed with no remorse, that's where he will go, for he is a child of the devil. For this reason, we Christians should get busy, repent, and let's shed some tears and return not tomorrow, return now, again, in the arms of God. Because again, tomorrow may bring us grief. How many people sleep and never wake up? How many people die in the highways and other automobile accidents within seconds? Where one may be singing, he gets hit head on and dies instantly. And with a song on his lips, enters the judgment seat of God. That's what man is all about. Man's heart works like a clock. At some point, the ticking element stops, the spring breaks down, and that's how the heart of a human being works. When the heartbeat stops, it's all over. Such is man. That's why the scriptures say every man is a liar, not because a man likes to lie, but the big lie is that he tries to look great and important, and in a split second, he drops dead. We have nothing under our total control. We have no power over our wife or our children or our wealth or our health. Absolutely nothing. All things are unstable. They all hang by a thread, by a piece of hair, because we can lose it all from death. And again, that can happen in seconds. When death comes, do you know where you will go? No. Do you know the way? No. So let God guide you where you will go. Since God will lead you, make sure you make things right with God. Because if you don't get right with God, someone else will lead you. And that someone else will lead you in the terror of Hades. And there, man will come to his senses. But what's the use then? He will be unable to correct himself. Now, today, this minute he can. Man must turn his heart towards God and tell him, "My God, I sin against you and against heaven, and I'm not worthy to be called your son, but please make me one of your servants," and return straight in the arms of the Father. And once God will wash us, clean us, and dress us with his grace and gives us the fatted calf, he will lead us in the banquet of the church. He will give us his body and blood, and we'll become one with Christ. And once we become one with Christ, the devil will have no jurisdiction over us. This is the gospel truth. No one can contradict with this truth of our Orthodox Church. Again, I repeat that we must wish in our prayers to God to grant us repentance and a return and a good ending, and the end of our life to be Christian, peaceful, blameless, painless, and of good defense before the righteous judge. In closing, I pray that God will make all of us worthy of his repentance and his kingdom, and may his grace enable us to meet again and pray for each other in the Spirit. And if someone departs from this life, I pray that he meets God forever. Amen.
Spirit.